Okay, there. Shallow water.
Oh, there, water shallows.
Water shadows. Shadows in the water are sharks.
Oh my God, a shark! Ah! Swim for your lives! We can outrun. Just like that.
What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
Ben, I have a beach wagon update for you.
I know people are on the edge of the proverbial seat. What happened?
I got one.
Oh my gosh, the shame. The shame.
I know. I'm such an embarrassment to myself.
Yeah, but that's really the only person that you're an embarrassment to.
No, because I need to believe that other people out there I was speaking to and they were like, preach, Jay. Preach. I hear you. You're speaking to my heart. I get where you're coming from. You know,
I mean, yes. So sometimes I think when delivering, like, kind of, I wouldn't even call that necessarily like a radical take or anything. I think it's a perfectly acceptable take. But when you commune with a narrow slice of other people who see the world the same way,
yeah,
it's like you form like a brotherhood.
Exactly.
You know, it's like you guys have now been in the trenches together. There is like an inseparable twine that will forever bind you as part of the anti-wagoneer establishment.
Right. So who knows? We haven't left for the beach yet. When you're listening to this, I'll almost be done at the beach.
Right. But so use your imagination for a moment for me, Jay. Like, what does it look like to be proven wrong in your mind? Like what would it almost have to be like, wow, this is brilliant.
I mean, that's the good news about this situation is I can't lose. Either the beach wagon is a total failure and I was completely right, or it's great and then I get to enjoy it anyway.
And so then it's sort of like, oh, well, you know what? My pride's completely still intact. Like, exactly. No big deal. It's not like I went on the internet and talked about how ridiculous this thing was.
I mean, that's the thing. I did go on the internet and talk about how ridiculous it was. And therefore, if it ends up being ridiculous and I hate it, then it can be like, ha, see?
I told you.
But if it was right, then I just grew, you know?
Yeah.
Then I grew.
I love that.
So it's no big deal. And I can just like, I can totally, like, if I bought something and then I use it and it makes my life better, I can totally live with that. Like, you know, I'm okay with that.
That's not the end of the world.
I would rather just be better than be right. Yeah.
That is such a healthy sentiment.
Yeah.
I think that's really where we should live. But it brings me to my next question for you, Jay. Thank you for coming on my show, by the way.
Yeah.
Where I wanted to ask you about the blueprint for the future that we establish as children, and in terms of like the way that we were raised and how we carry that into adulthood. Because I feel safe in asking this question as well, because I know mom and dad listen to the pop.
Yeah.
And in no way, shape, or form would I see this as a like, mom and dad, what were you thinking not providing us a wagon? It just, I would literally say that the way that we went to the beach as kids just didn't require it.
It didn't require it, for sure.
Yeah.
But also, like, did other people have wagons?
I don't know. You know, we were actually talking about this just a little bit before, because Ethan, the editor for Super Carlin Brothers and Through the Gryffindor and previously Popcorn Culture, until he got let go from the job. No, I'm just kidding. He just switched gears entirely because we have two podcasts. No, but we were talking about it because he also went to the same beach that I'm going to, Holden Beach. And we were talking about like the tent life out there.
Yeah.
Like having like like something that's really popular now is like the shibumi.
Yeah, the shibumi.
Which is sort of like, it's like a tent pole that is bent into like a curve, and then it uses the force of nature, aka wind.
The wind.
In order to create sort of this like shaded space underneath.
And
the peak advantages of the shibumi are that to carry it in, I think it weighs like maybe 2 pounds.
Right. It's very light.
It's incredibly light and it's very versatile and it can be set up in like no time flat. And it's a pretty neat invention in terms of like somebody just using incredibly simple stuff to create a functional umbrella.
Yeah.
You know, for the beach or whatever.
A good beach shade. The downside is that if it's not windy, it's not working.
Right. Yeah. So you do need wind in order for it to work versus like any other pop-up tent, which just provides shade almost no matter what. But on the flip side, even those, if there's too much wind, they can just go like catapulting down the beach.
And true.
I remember actually, brief anecdote, as a child, I went to a Virginia Tech football game with my friend Ben.
Yeah.
Actually, his name was Ruben and he was the seventh of his name.
Wow. Ruben the seventh.
Yes. Which I always found to be truly remarkable. Yeah. And just shout out to Ruben. But while we were out there, it was like a really windy day before the Virginia Tech football game. And sure enough, we like looked over and watched like a tent that was in the process of like bending itself backwards. And then the stake came out of the ground, the arm shot up and hit this girl in the face.
Oh man.
And I watched it happen.
Wow.
I mean, it would be like getting thwapped, you know, imagine like with a stick or something,
yeah.
But like a giant piece of metal that has like a flange specifically designed for like tapping like the stake in.
Yeah.
To this day, I think about that girl.
Wow.
Like her and Carp Girl.
That girl's out there.
That girl is out there. And if she's listening right now, like, just let me know that my heart goes out to you.
There you go. So what, like, when would this have been? Like circa 2003 or something?
Yeah, 2002, 2003.
Right.
I would say in that range.
If
yeah.
If you were attending a Virginia Tech football game circa 2002, 2003, and the wind pulled a tent stake out of the ground and it hit you in the face, Ben still thinks about you.
Not even the tent stake, the entire tent leg.
The entire tent leg.
Yes.
You know, it kicked you in the face, I suppose, then.
I mean, yes. I mean, it was as if the tent was a horse. You stood behind it and did apparently what everybody warns you about horses is potentially get kicked in the face.
Man, that would hurt so bad.
It would hurt so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not in favor of it, personally. Mm-hmm. And also, I'm sorry for the visual for those of you who have an aversion to tent the face related injuries. You know, because that's probably a thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I got here somehow. We were talking about beach tents and shade on the beach.
Yeah.
And
wagons.
And wagons. So the other thing, because you were saying like,
I don't blueprints.
Even, like, was it even a thing when we were kids to have a wagon?
Right.
But the other thing about us as kids is eventually we would start to like have a service. They do this at the beach where they'll come out with like a pop-up tent, like a tailgate tent, the mm-hmm. one that hit the girl in the face.
Yep.
And they'll just be out there at like 8 a.m. and they'll go set it up for you. And then at like 5 p.m. they'll go back out, pick it back up,
right, put
it in the truck,
yep,
and go off. And it's just, it is your very basic, like easy up tent, but it saves you from having to carry it, which is right, a nice feature. But I would say that wasn't until we were like 20 years old plus.
Not when we were kids, yeah.
Yeah, and so we were non-shade at the beach people completely.
Completely, yeah. There was no tent, there was no shibumi, there was no, we would just be outdoors in the sun.
I would go so far as to say we raw dogged the sun.
We raw dogged the sun.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
It just.
That's the title.
People are like, I'm giving up on this podcast, yeah, immediately.
Yep, that's it.
We made it to episode like 350 and we're like, no. You can't say raw dog the sun, especially, yep, not twice.
That's three times now.
I know. They're just adding up. No, but that was the truth, you know, like we would go out there. Mom and dad had these like beach chairs that I feel like were made out of like a plasticky material that had like almost like woven.
Yeah,
like
interwoven. Yeah, I know exactly the beach chairs you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And realistically, I wouldn't even say we had them for us, the kids. It was just like the adults on the trip would,
exactly,
have like a row of them. So,
yeah,
you know, four adults to seven kids.
Right.
And yeah, so four chairs, that was it. And yep, if one of the parents was like off swimming, you could go and like plop down for a minute, but really not long because you, yeah, had a sandcastle to build.
Yeah, sandcastle to build, or a hole to dig, or an ocean to ride or play in, or you know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're just out there.
But like, so that's another one though, where it's like the times have changed, because I guarantee both of us will go to the beach this upcoming week, and I guarantee both separate beaches will just have a row where almost every single party on the beach will have a shade.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it feels like it has just become like one of those things where early adopters of like the colorful beach umbrella, you know, from like Olaf's,
yeah,
summer song,
mm-hmm,
you know, it's like that I feel like was like the early days, and people were like, yeah, sure, you know, you have like an umbrella, it's kind of nice, you know, you're a little right, bit of shade for you to sit under.
Yeah.
It's
not gonna be a lot of shade, but that's okay. This is a personal choice for you. Most people would be, you know, why would they need shade? They came to the beach.
Exactly.
You want to be in the sun.
You want to be in the sun. Yeah, that's what we're here for. So I would say that that is something that has drastically changed. And so it's almost like, what is like, is that like on beach culture just evolving? Because I would almost say that that is what it is. Mm-hmm. Like I mean, maybe it's something we've talked about recently where it's just like the capitalism of it all. It's like someone discovered a way to make the beach a little more comfortable. They put it out into the world. Everybody else started using it, you know. And then it's like, hey, you want to know a fun way to make your beach vacation even better? Get one of these Shaboomies.
Yeah.
You know, like easy to set up, no time flat, and then you got plenty of shade.
There you go. If it's windy. But I did get a Shaboomie for this beach trip.
I know. Congratulations,
thank
by the
you.
Way. You know,
yeah.
Like, I mean, you could probably get like a bumper sticker for the back of your car that says like proud parent of a new Shaboomie.
Yeah. I mean, you honestly could, because it was like, I had to shop around. It's not easy. They're not discounted, you know.
I don't understand the ironclad patent that the people of the Shaboomie company have placed on the Shaboomie. Because,
yeah.
I mean, if you don't know what this is, look it up. But it is a tent pole that has been bent into an arc with a like sleeve of what I'm sure is UV resistant fabric on
right.
it. That it is like blue and like a teal color.
Yep.
And they all, as far as I know, they don't come in other colors.
There is now also a pink orange one.
Okay. Yeah. But I would say that's new since last year.
That's new, and those are the only two colors.
Right. Yes. But like otherwise, you could almost recreate it with a standard tent pole from your existing tent and like a shower curtain.
Right.
You know, like,
yeah, about.
I mean, yeah, like it is that simple. And yet, I think they cost $300.
Yeah, that's about what they cost. Yes.
Right. And so it's like, I mean, talk about a margin related like product, because this feels like the sort of thing where the first people made it and it was like, hey, great idea. The rest of us are going to come swoop, you know,
right.
Like, it's not like people can't figure out how it's done.
I know, but no one else is like allowed to sell this version of this product at all.
I don't get it.
I know.
I truly don't get it.
Like, certainly there must be, even if you're, obviously you can't copy the exact product. That's what the patent's for. But like, there are ways to almost copy it, right?
Right. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's like, and maybe pieces like that do exist, but it is remarkable how the grip on the shade related market for the beach has adopted the Shaboomie.
Yeah, it is. It is. Especially when we were growing up, there was no shade to be found at all.
No shade, no wagons, no anything.
I know. You just went out there with your, you know, swim trunks and you thought about some sunscreen and you had a sense of adventure and that was it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you put sunscreen on. That was a joke, but
so do you think that like what used to be, because I could even see a world where in like the early, you know, like in the 90s, like when we were growing up or whatever, like if we had gone to the beach with like a family that brought all this kinds of stuff, like I could almost see a world where our family's take on it would have been like, wow, you guys are so like extra, like that's, is all this necessary?
Is it all necessary, man?
Which I would even say must be true, because it almost feels like your blueprint from childhood has brought you to a little bit of that conclusion as of.
Well, the thing is, like, I mean, I don't know. Were other people doing it the way we were doing it back then as well? Or were the, I mean, you know?
I don't remember as much shade.
I don't remember as much shade either.
Yeah, but like now there's like a myriad. Because I was doing like the hunt last year. Like I was watching like videos where like Bob's Beach Toys or whatever went out on the beach and like, you know, he had bought every single beach cabana that there was to buy, and he gave a complete rating as to ease of setup, you know, UV protection, number of people that you could fit underneath it, you know, like he had like a whole grading scale, and I watched all of them,
right?
You know, and it was just sort of like everyone's approached it from like a different angle. Like an industry has clearly been made out of.
Oh, I know. So the question is really, was the way we were doing it the superior way of doing it, and it has just been commercialized, or the way we were doing it was insane and people have fixed all the problems?
It could be that. It could be that. Because like, I mean, we certainly have a walk to school in the snow uphill both ways, you know, type of mentality about it. But it doesn't seem like, it would almost be as if like we were like really glad that we walked to school in the snow uphill both ways.
Right.
You know, like we I don't think I ever had a qualm about it. It never occurred to me to think of it any other way.
Oh, that's exactly what I mean, though. It was like there was no production about going from the house to the beach. You just went.
You ran and probably got a splinter in the process.
Maybe you did. You certainly did. I didn't even have flip flops, you know?
Oh, I know. Yeah.
It was barefoot. Didn't even bring a towel. I mean, you just left the house and then you were on the beach. And that was that.
And what we did with the towel, so we would have this like wooden dock, basically, yeah, like splinter, like, full of splinters. And we basically would all like walk out and just throw our like recently wet towels over the railing. So yeah, the sun and the wind would
just dry them.
And then without really any major discretion, if you walked up, you just picked up one of the towels.
It's
not like it was like, oh no, that's Jay's towel, you can't use that towel.
Right.
Although I think you did have a towel. It was like blue with dinosaurs on it, now that I remember.
I don't know.
Oh man. I remember.
You remember. Always wanted that towel.
I know. Oh, I mean, it had dinosaurs on it. For goodness sake. You know? Yeah. It's good stuff. Meanwhile, mine was just made of chainmail.
Chainmail?
It's just literal chain.
It's so heavy.
Non-absorption, kind of right. Scratchy.
Just like kind of rusty a little bit, in the salt air.
In the salty air, yeah. I don't think it was good for me.
Yeah, I had to go get a tetanus shot once a day, you know?
Yeah, tetanus is no joke.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty intense. But anyway, for the joke's sake, absolutely.
Yes, right?
So back to my original question. So like, how do you feel about the blueprint of childhood? Like, because on some level I could say if you grow into adulthood and you think the way we did it as kids is actually a really beautiful reflection of your relationship with childhood.
Wait, say that again.
Sorry. So if your blueprint from childhood is right, something that you feel to enact, you want to enact in today,
right,
as like a grown up parent yourself, I think it means that you had a nice enough relationship with your own childhood that there's not an aversion to it. Oftentimes people will do the flip. You know, they'll be like, dude, we did it. We went to the same beach every single year growing up, and I hated it. So now we go to a different beach every year.
Right.
That's not me saying that. I actually am going back to the beach we went to growing
right,
up.
Right, yeah, growing year. Up.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. I think that's part of it. Yeah, I did. I feel like I did have a very good relationship with it, and because I would look forward to that week. We would go to the beach like all year.
It was one of
the best weeks just ever, year in, year out. And it's like such like a, like, where you're going, Holden Beach, was like such a core place that we went.
Yes.
And
like our nephew's name is literally Holden.
Yes. Our nephew's name is literally Holden because of these trips. And like there were so many little rituals that were attached to the trip. And like when we were driving there, you would always stop at the Rocky Mount McDonald's,
right? Yeah.
To get out of town.
If you're ever passing through our area, I would argue the best McDonald's is the Rocky Mount McDonald's.
That has continued to be true. That is one where you didn't know what you had until you left.
Yeah.
The Rocky Mount, Virginia McDonald's is the best McDonald's.
I don't know why. I think it's because it's not like a franchise location. It's like the people there who own it. We actually played right, soccer that's growing true, up with the kid who was the son of the people who own it.
Right.
And they just seem to love it. Like you would go in and they like the family was just behind the counter.
That's true. You know what? And then that's the other thing too. You're right. Is that when you go there, it is like a community hub.
Yes.
There. It is like filled at all times and people just like know each other. And obviously the people who work there, it feels like they just take it a little more seriously or whatever. I don't know why. But the food otherwise you'd think is just about the same. I feel like it tastes better. It's cleaner. I don't know what it is. Rocky Mount McDonald's, that was always first stop.
Yeah.
And then you'd be on the road for what felt like forever. And you would stop at Shoney's. We'd stop at the same Shoney's every time.
Yep.
And year after year, the tablecloths would be a little bit stickier from the syrup.
You know what I mean? It's almost as if like you left, you know, in the year 1996.
Yeah.
A little bit of like syrup smear right here in like the corner.
Yeah.
Came back 1997. Guess what? You just add to it.
They didn't wipe it off.
No. I mean, it's part of the appeal. You put your elbow down. You're part of the restaurant. Now
that's it. You've left your DNA on the restaurant and the same picture of the same high school football team that won some championship in the 80s is still right next to that spilled syrup. you know?
Exactly.
Exactly.
And also good for those guys.
Good for those guys. Well done. Well done. Your memory lived on in that Shoney's. I don't even know if that Shoney's is still there, but we would stop at the same Shoney's every year. Then you get to the beach. Then mom and Vicky would go, you know, shopping at the Kroger to get all the groceries for the week. And dads would have to bring the kids to go do something.
Oftentimes I felt we would go to the Walmart.
The Walmart, yeah.
And it was almost one of these things where I feel like they knew that we had all been like crammed in the car for a spell.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like, yes, we're taking a bunch of kids to Walmart. Yes, it's the beginning of vacation. You're going to have to let them buy like a boogie board or a packet of water balloons or
something
like a thing, you know. And I feel like there was even like a little dose of joy involved with that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, all right, mm-hmm. all right, yeah, this is, you know, like we get to go. It's like we know we're not getting like a new video game, you know. It's not going to be like an mm-mm. action figure. It needed to be beach adjacent,
right? Yes,
but you
yes.
know, there was an allowance.
There was an allowance, yeah, probably to get something there. Then we had to go to the house and unload what felt like 10 cars worth of stuff from the two cars.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't make sense to me either because yeah. I would throw on like 7 duffel bags, carry them up the stairs, and then you and I and Tyler would make like 13 trips each.
Yeah.
And
that's
like,
in addition to the 4 children from the other family we went with also doing that.
Yes.
I have no idea. Like, I think about when we would get to like grandma and grandpa's for like Christmas or whatever. And I feel like I would carry multiple duffel bags to and from the car like
multiple times.
Yeah, multiple times.
Yes, yeah, same.
And it'd be like, how do we have this many duffel bags?
I have no idea.
I don't know either.
Maybe mom and dad secretly are involved in Big Duffel.
Yeah.
You know, and they're sort of like, listen, we got to start them young. They need to know.
They got to know.
Yeah. It's like, we don't do the rooftop carrier. We have way too many duffel bags.
Right. We don't do rooftop carriers. Don't get me started.
No. Yeah. I was baiting you. I was baiting. Yeah. I knew what I was doing.
Yeah. And then the other thing we would always have, there would always be like a box. There was like candy was like a beach thing.
It was definitely a beach thing. Yeah. So our mom and the mom of the other family we went with would go through, and it's like the modern day, like they call it like a snackle box, you know, like
right.
It was like on Pinterest or, you know, TikTok or a reel mm-hmm. or something. It's like, oh, keep your kids busy in the car. But like mom had started doing this in like 1994.
Right.
You know, and she bought these little, you know, kind of kids style like red tackle boxes that had like a clear lid, and she would like pack them full
Well, that wasn't even the first ones were like those little green treasure chests.
They were green treasure chests. Yeah. Absolutely right. Did we like mark them up? Like,
yeah, I think we like drew all over them. Yeah.
Yeah,
we had the green treasure chests. And then it was
totally
like
right.
Then it was the red tackle boxes. That, you know, so fun to sort your candy. Like, oh, I got all my Airheads in this little pocket right here. I got all these things right here.
It was the most fun.
Yeah, the candy trading aspect of the 7 children was awesome, you know.
Yes.
Kinda like, it turned into like a whole little economy, which was like so fun doing all the trading. But then eventually it moved from the snackle boxes to the cups. And
yes.
Every year the trip would be, everyone would get a new cup, and they'd all be like the same kind of fun, whimsical kind of cup, and they'd be filled with candy and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But then the cups were used for your nightly virgin pina colada.
Yes,
you know,
indeed.
Big time.
Which was also like a mega piece of,
yeah.
of the culture. It was
yes.
like, our mom loves pina coladas.
Yes, she does.
And it has been true since we were little. It is true to this day. And, you know, it was just like, it was always so fun, you know, because you get like, I feel like there were like plastic margarita cups that had like all the little like bubbles,
yeah.
you know, in them or something, mm-hmm. or there was always a neat shape to
yeah.
it. But you're right. Yeah. So we would all have those and all have our little like names on them and everything. And yeah, we would like really go hard on the cups.
Go hard on the cups.
What else
hard
we
on
got?
The candy. We did the pina coladas, the Captain Pete's, the seafood store.
Yes.
That was like where dinner would come from every night. Although sadly, we've just learned that Captain Pete's is closed after whatever million years.
It was like 47 years or something. So, I mean, to say that we went there every single year since we were like tiny
yeah.
is an absolute fact. And they had already been there for 12 years by the time I was born.
Right.
You know, like, so they had been there. I mean, it is a lifelong and then some staple that is now gone. And
now gone.
I mean, there's like a piece of my soul that I think like died with.
Right.
That.
Like someone's got like people, there has to be a seafood shop at the beach, you know?
There almost certainly is a secondary option.
Someone came in to fill the void, hopefully, but not more importantly, but at Captain Pete's, I think they were probably the only place on the entire planet Earth that bought this particular candy, but it was fruit shaped powdered candy. So like, imagine if you will, a plastic banana filled with banana flavored powder.
Yes.
Right. And this came in strawberry, grape, orange, banana, and something else. I don't know.
Wow. Good memory.
Yeah. I remember them vividly because every single day it was like mom and Vicky would come back and they'd be like, here's the color fruit we got today. And it was like, oh man, it was like the best thing that you got the new. And I think like, I would never do this for my own kids now. I'm like, that's so much sugar.
Here is a canister of pure sugar.
Pure sugar. And my goal as a kid was to make this last basically until the next beach trip.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like very sparingly just be like little sips, you know?
Right. You're right. Here like you were like getting ready before school, like in November, and you'd like look both ways. And like go over to your sock drawer and like crack it open and be like,
ooh, got a little hit of orange there, you know?
Yeah. It's been good. It's been good.
The plastic fruit full of sugar. That was a thing. There was always the mini golf. And that would go real hard some years. Yes. Where I think one year, like me and you and the two brothers from the other family played close to 3 rounds a day. I think there was a year we played like 20 rounds of mini golf.
I was about to say 20 because one of the things that was working so well for us is that one of the holes, if you get a hole in one, gives you a free game. And it's a pretty easy hole to win.
Right.
And those two were both on like maybe the golf team or had recently picked up golf or something. So
They just golfed.
Yeah. Okay. But there was a lot of like, you know, reason to do it. But you're right. I mean, we're having like a 20 game, like, it would almost be like bowling, you know, where it's like, it's not seeing who wins, like the game we're playing right now. It's like by the end of the week, the score is like 513 to 487 to, you know.
Right. You're playing the same card the whole week.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Yes. It's like we got like a whole stack of them going.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was fun. There was a lot of putt-putt. I feel like I feel like nowadays, like when we go to the beach, we'll be like, oh yeah, we're gonna make sure we go get ice cream one night. We're gonna make sure we go putt-putt one day or whatever.
Yeah.
I feel like when we were growing up, it was like
every night.
It was ice cream on the daily.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a daily occurrence.
This is like something where like, I'm also like, we're mom, like there's a myriad of ways to look at it, not to come at our kids, but like, I don't know if like maybe things were just like more coordinated or if they were like, hey, we're going to get ice cream. And it was like, yep, everybody throws on their shoes. Or maybe I'm just remembering it from when we were older and things went smoother.
Sure.
Because I do feel like the last time our entire family was there, the idea of getting every single person in the car and getting to the place, which is always packed.
Yeah.
Was like, you know, I mean,
impossible,
nearly impossible.
Right.
You know, it's like you're trying to move, you know, what, 8 adults, 7 kids, 15 people.
Right.
Like, across 3 cars, you know, over a bridge and stuff like that. I mean, it's just, it's a thing,
right?
It's a production.
It is a production. Yeah. Maybe we're just remembering it from when we were older and maybe we didn't get ice cream that much. I don't know. Certain years we did.
Yes. I mean, but you're totally right. Maybe some nights were just like pina colada nights and some nights were ice cream nights.
Right. Yeah.
Totally. Cause I bet we didn't do both.
I don't know. I feel like pina colada. That was pretty much every night.
I'm remembering
the pina coladas.
We had it on tap. Okay. Can I just give you a quick sidebar?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what? Sometimes it was strawberry daiquiris.
You're right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
But no, you know, those like machines, like if you go and they've got like a frozen drink or whatever at like a gas station, or sometimes like if you go to like a bar, they'll have like a fun, frozen cocktail, but it's like, it swirls, you know, it's got like a swirly do.
Right. Yeah,
man. One thing that I feel like I would just love to do is go to like a restaurant liquidation auction.
Yeah.
Buy one of those and then just have constant on tap, like frozen slush beverage.
Yeah.
For my own personal enjoyment.
Just at your house.
At my house. Absolutely.
Yeah, like whenever you want a slushy or a slurpee or whatever, you just,
I just,
yeah.
I mean, I, like, I have an addictive personality. Like, I know that about myself.
People are addicted to you. Yes.
Yeah, right. It's like when people hear my personality, they're like, I need more.
I need more of him.
And I kind of can't help it.
Yeah.
No, not what I meant. I remember in high school, and I swear I think it was because of cross country that did it, because we were talking a little bit about how, like, we didn't bring water. We didn't have, like, energy packets. Like, we weren't doing anything.
Yeah.
But, like, I would get to the end of a cross country practice or track practice, and my blood sugar would be so low.
Yeah.
Like, that I would like not just want, need to go get, like, a Slurpee.
Right.
Like, it was like, I need, like, intravenous sugar addition mm-hmm. to my body.
You've depleted all the calories.
Yes. Like, I mean, it's like, and I mean, to be fair, we were running so much that this didn't really have a huge bearing on my overall health.
Yeah.
It probably impacted my running ability just because I was, you know, like, so topsy-turvy in terms of, like, my blood content.
Sure.
But I eventually bought one of those really, like, mega sized, like, jugs, and you could get a full sized, like,
you know, you get, like, cheaper refills.
Yeah. I mean, it was like 86 cents to refill it. Mm-hmm. And I went every day.
Right. And they don't plan on you doing that. They're like, oh yeah, sell them on the cheap refills. And then they just buy a lot today and then they don't do it.
Yeah, I did.
Ben got his money's worth.
I got my money's worth indeed. I mean, like, the number of times, especially because it was so cheap that it was sort of like, for the most part, you know, I'm a kid, don't really have money or anything, but, like, I, you know, it was the kind of thing where you could, like, scrape the bottom of, like, your coin jar or whatever and be like, boom, bam, I got 86 cents.
Yeah. Amazing.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by BetterHelp. It is no secret at this point that Jay and I are big advocates for mental health and trying to knock down any stigma behind seeking out therapy. We are both regulars ourselves in our own sessions, and our team has the freedom to take their own sessions as needed, no questions asked. And as much as we speak about our own experiences, it's not just us. If you head over to betterhelp.com/reviews, you can see so many other people sharing their experience and the impact that it's had on their lives. And it honestly warms my heart that there are so many of them. Over 6 million people have used BetterHelp globally and maintain a 4.9 out of 5 rating based on over 1.7 million reviews. And when I stepped into my first therapy session, I had myself convinced I was being dramatic. The crazy part is realizing just how much weight you may be carrying with you every day. And there is someone out there who can help. See the reviews, see what stands out, and see if BetterHelp is right for you. Visit BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
You know what I feel like has gone the other way on that is popcorn buckets. You know, I feel like when once upon a time you could go to the movie theater and you could buy the bucket at the theater.
Yep.
And then if you brought that bucket back, it was a cheap refill.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yep.
Nowadays, they're like, hey, what if you bought a brand new custom shaped bucket per movie?
Dude, they are getting me so bad with the custom popcorn buckets of the movies, though. I mean, it's like, I don't want, it's like, sometimes you know you're being got, and it's like, you know, maybe there's no other option. You know, you go to like a sporting event and they charge you $12 for your drink or whatever, and it's just like,
it's just sort of the cost of doing business, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
It's like, I'll just deal with it. You know, like, this is, it's we're here.
The movie, yes, live sports feels a little different because that's real people in front of you, giant crowd, you're all there.
Yeah.
The movies feels like they're taking advantage because it's like, that's just popcorn, okay?
No, I agree.
That's just candy.
Popcorn has an absolute, talk about high margin sales.
Oh my gosh.
Popcorn is absolutely massive. But it's such a fun theater snack, and the new popcorn buckets, to their credit, are so fun.
I don't know who's coming up with popcorn buckets, but they're crushing it.
They're crushing it,
and I hate it because I want to buy one regular plastic bucket and then bring it back the next time and get a 50 cent refill. That's what I want.
I understand. Yeah. But, like, okay, I'm going to give a quick Formula One example here.
Do it.
Because, so, my favorite Formula One driver is this guy named Max Verstappen.
Max Verstappen.
Yeah. He's really good. He doesn't have the fastest car right now, but he did for a long time. And a huge part of that is that Formula One cars are all made by their respective teams. So they're not all driving the exact same spec car, which can either be a plus or a minus depending on your enjoyment of the sport, because there are four teams that will win and there are the other teams that will not win.
Yeah, there are, there's like a, if one of the top eight drivers doesn't finish in the top eight, that was like a big deal for that eighth place person.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, yeah, they call it literally the best of the rest.
Right.
There are people fighting for eighth, because that becomes like the, you know, extra spot right there, you know, can you crack in? But that forever, there was a guy that worked for Red Bull, which is who Max races for, named Adrian Newey. And he is like the best aerodynamicist in the world, bar none.
Adrian Newey. Got it.
And so what, basically it's like, if you are really good at making the car be fast, the car is real fast.
Yeah.
And I swear Adrian Newey is currently responsible for making popcorn buckets at the movie theaters. It's like, I believe that there is one person in charge of popcorn buckets and they are like the absolute ace in the hole, and one day they will like retire or get moved on to some other novelty souvenir item and they will go back downhill. But for the time being, we are living in the golden age of popcorn buckets.
I agree with you on that front. And it feels like maybe like what we have, there's so many good movies coming out right now too that I need and want to go see, like The Odyssey.
Yeah.
And Spider-Man's coming out.
Yep.
And Doomsday's cranking up
in December. Yep. It'll be great.
Toy Story 5 was freaking awesome.
Yep.
Loved that, man. I love the idea of just like the movies being back. Oh, let me tell you, Beth went back to her, was at her parents' house a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
Right. And she was like cleaning out her bedroom and just like took some mementos home or whatever. And we were kind of going through them. And one of the things was a little box she had full of all of her movie ticket stubs. And I was like, oh yes, this is so cool, because that like I also used to have like a little box where I had all my movie stubs, you know.
Yeah,
it was like, this is my little collection. And it was so many, it was like so thick, and I was like, I don't, the now you just buy it, they hand you some like paper thinner than receipt paper that's like, yeah, it's in theater three. No one tears it, no one checks it. Why'd I even pay? I could have just walked back there. They wouldn't have even known. They don't even care. You know,
they're like, I already got you on the popcorn bucket. It's fine. I've made all my money I need to make on you.
I remember being afraid that if I went into an R-rated movie, someone was going to like check that light and like kick me out of the theater as a kid. Nowadays, like, just here, you know what? Here's the trick. Buy a movie ticket to literally any other movie that isn't rated R and then just go in that theater. They're not checking. They don't care anymore. Like, they're not even going to like tear your ticket stub, you know, just that. I mean, don't steal or anything. Don't do that. Don't walk in. Don't not pay. But
right. Yeah. It's like, well, here we go.
Yeah.
We're getting a takedown notice from AMC.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. I hate that when you buy movie tickets, it's not at the box office window in the front, you know, that is core to going to the movies. I hate that not every movie theater has Coke, because that is core to going to the movies. Why is Pepsi allowed to be at the movie theater? It's stupid. It's not as good. And even if it is, it's not at the movies. All right. Coke at the movies, Ben.
There's a time and a place.
There's a time and a place.
You want me to tell you the place where Pepsi belongs?
Where?
Well, or did, is the putt-putt place that we played at.
You're right.
Growing
yes.
up.
Yes. You know what? I will give all miniature golf Pepsi products.
There you go.
There you go. I'll give you that.
Because on hole eight, you get a hole in one, you get a free Pepsi.
You get free Pepsi.
And if you think you know the best ice in the world, then you have never been to the Treasure Island putt-putt course at Holden Beach, North Carolina, because there's the soft, crunchy ice, but there is nothing I say that compares to what they put inside of that Pepsi.
They have got that Pepsi machine locked in.
Yeah. Okay. If it ever goes up for sale at like a restaurant liquidation auction, I will buy it.
You're right. Okay. Yeah. Pepsi at miniature golf, Coke at the movies. I don't want your dumb Pepsi. And when I say Coke at the movies, I also mean cherry Coke. That has to be an option.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
It needs to be in your offering. Speaking of things that were always at the beach, this one would come in and out year to year, but at that same Treasure Island golf course.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me know if you remember this. There was a It was a copycat Simon Says machine.
Yeah.
And depending on how well you did on it, you might get one or two or three or more bouncy balls to pop out as the prize.
And we loved it.
Oh my gosh. Like, I mean, it was such bragging rights for how many bouncy balls you could get to come out of this thing. And there were bouncy balls galore because you could play it for a quarter. And you could take, this was, I mean, it was such a good deal for a quarter.
It was a great deal.
Because you could, it was just Simon Says, it's just remember the pattern of lights, right? Like, we've all played that game, but when you're like, when you have seven kids locked in on who can be the best at Simon Says, the copycat machine.
Yeah.
Like, let me tell you what, you start getting real high scores.
Yeah, it's like
people take it seriously.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. It's like think about the era before video games was like an actual like competitive sport that's like aired on television and stuff. It's like people probably weren't as good, and then all of a sudden you have a championship where like the winner wins like $50,000 or something. It's like, yeah, people care all of a sudden.
People
like,
care all of a sudden.
It is a job to be good at the video game,
right?
And for us as young kids in the 90s, Copycat was our Fortnite.
That was it. That was it. Copycat at the beach, at Treasure Island, at Holden Beach. There it is.
Yeah, yeah.
It might still be there.
I will check.
Yeah. You tell me.
Yeah. Okay, here's another weird one that like I think back to sometimes is every once in a while, it's like you never really knew if like what the other kids were going through. But every once in a while, and it's not even that I could like have figured it out then, like Madeline would like show up and she would have like six new bouncy balls that we weren't there for.
Right.
And it's almost like, now wait just a tick.
Now hold on.
Now what happened this morning that your parents were like, you come with us, we're going to go play Copycat.
Right.
And it's like, was she having like a hard day? Did something... Did you hear that?
I did.
Yeah, I thought it was thunder.
First, I thought it was thunder. It was, in fact, sounds like a motorcycle.
I hope it at least makes them happy.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, brief aside, but you know, so it's like, it's interesting to think that like there were smaller interfamily politics that must've been happening where
right.
It was sort of like, she's having a hard time. She's overwhelmed. Surely they know like, you know, oh, maybe someone's overstimulated or they need some one-on-one time, or maybe that's like a designed part. Like they didn't make a big deal out of it, but like each kid sort of had their moment to like go off and just
right. Yeah.
Do like a one-on-one thing.
Yeah.
But it was always interesting when it was like, wait a second. You have a fruit sugar container and it's strawberry and strawberry day hasn't happened yet.
Right.
So like,
how'd you pull this off?
Delaney.
Yeah.
Tell me
you
now.
Know? You yeah, know what I'm saying?
Because I don't understand.
Why do you have strawberry and we don't?
Right. Yes. And it's like, Mom, Delaney is strawberry. Did you know that?
You know that?
You did know that. She mm-hmm. came with you to Cap'n Beats this morning.
Yeah.
But why wasn't, but why, did, why, yeah. why weren't the rest of us invited? We were at the beach, but we're at the beach. So we're being punished. For being, no, I'm just kidding. Yeah. I never felt that way, but it was always interesting when like something like a new piece of contraband. Ah, oh, contraband.
That's exactly what it was.
It was contraband.
It was contraband.
Because it's like we had such limited access to anything.
The Closet Buddies. That was a thing.
The Closet Buddies was a thing.
Yes.
So here's how Closet Buddies works.
Let's tell you about Closet Buddies.
You get to Shoney's. Your elbow is glued to the syrup that's yeah, there from that's 1996. There. And we're all politicking.
Yeah.
You know, it's because
there's a lot of moving and shaking.
There is. Yes. So there's four rooms. Four closets, none of which ever got used by any of the residents.
Yeah, not for clothing or anything.
No, but like we would go in and it would be like everybody would need to decide whose closet was going to be whose, and also whose closet buddy was permitted to go to a specific closet.
Right, exactly. So yeah, each closet effectively became like a clubhouse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, it's kind of like one of these things where it's like, I don't know what advantage we truly got from it, because a lot of times it just meant you got like sequestered with one other person and you just kind of sat in the closet, like chit chatting,
just like talking, hanging out, doing yeah. stuff,
but then
eating candy.
It almost felt like there was like a dorm room aspect to it as well, where it's like the first week of, you know, living at college and people are just kind of like popping around. It's like not inappropriate. Like if you have your door open and somebody to come over and it's like sort of knocking, like, hey guys, just want to let you know I'm down here at like 2:31. You know, if you guys are ever, you know, going to dinner, like let us know. You know, we could hang,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's like it's very like communal in that way.
Right.
And then this was almost that, where like people would like come by and be like, hey guys, just wanted to, how's your closet going?
Oh, they had the slat doors.
So they did.
Very easy to slip notes through.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes. It's like,
yeah, boom. Oh, cool. Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Fun.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Closet buddies. Fun times.
Very fun times. Yeah. Very fun times. Mm-hmm. Another thing that we would do is at the end of each week, we would almost like want to like leave our mark. So we would all go get cans of spray paint and just like, no, I'm just kidding. We didn't do that. But no, we would want to leave our mark. And so a lot of times this would like, there's like a giant wreath over a fireplace and we would like take like a starburst and like hide it.
Yes.
In the wreath.
Because we go to the same house every year. So the goal was, could you hide something in the house that would be there next year?
Right. So could you imagine like returning and being like, guys, do you think the yellow starburst is still behind the row of like, you know, holly berries or whatever? Yeah. And that was like an enormous, like, could it happen? And we're leaving a time capsule for future us.
For future us. I'm going to come back next year and I'm going to have that starburst. It's going to still be there.
I think that was a better play though than I think once upon a time we took a balloon and we buried it like 7 paces to the left of the bottom of the stairs in the sand.
Yeah.
And we hoped it would still be there when we returned. And then when we came back the next year, the dunes had literally been moved and it was a completely different staircase. And also it was a balloon and the beach and there was no chance it would ever make it.
No chance it would be there even probably by the next morning.
Probably not.
Yeah. So we basically just like littered.
We buried our litter. Yeah. You know? Yeah. But you know what? We didn't know better.
We didn't know better. No.
So
we were just dumb kids.
That's right. That's right. I'm certain mom and dad probably also didn't even know we were doing that. It was just the type of thing that we thought was going to be fun.
Oh yeah, for sure. For sure. What? Oh, I feel like I just had something about the hiding stuff in the house. I've lost. Oh yes. Here it was. Is that, did you ever have the joy of at the Treasure Island golf mini golf course?
Yeah, I'm familiar.
You know, every now and then you might win a free game on a certain hole, right? We already talked about that.
We did.
Right. But sometimes you would win a free game, but then you wouldn't get to cash it in immediately. And then sometimes like you wouldn't get, like the week would end before you got to cash it in. Mm-hmm, right. Mm-hmm. Now, let me tell you something. There's no greater feeling in the whole world than keeping track of that free game token, which was made of wood and had a smiley face on one side, for an entire year and cashing it in the next year.
Yes.
That was peak.
Did it.
Peak. Did it.
You kept it right there in that sock drawer next to the rest of your fruit candy.
You know what I had? Because this is when we had the white van and I had like a little cubby in my side door.
Yes.
In my little side. Yeah. That I would keep the wooden chip right in there. Right in there. And then we got to the beach next year. Boom. Wooden chip.
Look at that.
I got it.
I'm ready.
Free game.
I'm paying. You know what, guys? On me.
Well, so is the Pepsi. Watch this. Hole in one.
Hole in one. Yeah. Every time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
Good times. Good times.
Yeah.
See? And so when someone's like, we need a beach wagon, I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Everything's already perfect.
Why would we change it?
Why would we? Yes. Why would you threaten my perfect beach memories with a beach wagon?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good point. It's a good point. And I feel like this was the lead up that people didn't have last time, you know, last week's rant on the beach wagon,
which they haven't even heard yet. We don't even know how they're going to have reacted.
For all
we know, they're like, dude, don't get it. You're going to regret it.
It doesn't go well in the sand. It says it has sand tires and it doesn't go well in the sand. What gives?
Gives what?
Yeah. Mm. That's funny. Okay. Here's another one that I would love to just ever have one more time in my life. You know how like we sometimes say like, wouldn't it be great if we could like read Harry Potter again for the first time? It's just get the joy of like that first experience and like knowing that you're about to have something wonderful. There was a growing up, we would go to an ice cream place called The Scoop. And the cool thing about The Scoop, I mean, they sold like Hershey's ice cream, which is perfectly fine, but like just not like homemade or something, you know,
right.
Kind of gives it a little extra flair. They had saltwater taffy.
In little wooden baskets.
Little wooden baskets. You could fill up a bag. They waited it up at the front counter. And then, you know, we'd have saltwater taffy and it was great. But then eventually they introduced like a soft serve place. And it was like, oh, like soft serve compared to like hard scoop. Like, you know, hard scoop's the way to go, right?
Right.
But this place was called Softy Freeze.
The Softy Freeze.
And I loved Softy Freeze.
Dude, the Softy Freeze was so superior to the Scoop.
It was. And it was like what they would do, the shtick with Softy Freeze was that it was like soft serve ice cream. But like normally, like if you go to like McDonald's or something, they got like the white flavor, the chocolate flavor, or you can like swirl it. And you get like that 50-50 blend. But they would do this thing where there was almost like a gel or a syrup
or something.
Yeah. And it would come out on the sides. For one, it was kind of beautiful.
Yeah. It looked really cool. It was made like this really colorful careful swirl.
Yes. But then if you got like black cherry and then dipped it in chocolate.
That was exactly the move too. That was what I would get every time.
Oh my gosh. And like, you know, then the shell, like you get that like hard shell, you know, like exterior to it, and you bite in, you get that like cherry chocolate flavor. Mm-hmm. And boy, howdy. Like I can taste it while I talk about it.
I can taste it now.
Yeah. I mean, it was so good.
Life-changing ice cream.
Yes. Yes. And then I remember at some point in time, it went from like, you know, right there, like on the main drag, like on the island or whatever. And then it got like moved to like a shopping mall. And
I was like, now next to the Food Lion.
Right. And I was like, you know what? Like we're worth going still. Then you'd like go over there, and it made it like 1 year, and then it was gone. Donezo,
what Washington. Happened?
I don't even know.
I don't even know.
It's like, I mean, you know, where
the scoop's still there.
I know. Where are they now though? Mm. You know,
what happened is that Beaches and Cream came in, you know?
Well, Beaches and Cream, to their credit,
is so good.
It's very good. Talk about homemade ice cream.
Yeah.
Oh man.
They're crushing it.
That's the place that we try to go now, like with our kids. And it is like jam slam packed every single time. And they're like cranking people through. And there is something to be said, I think, sometimes for like establishments that attract people like high school aged students who are like, you know, like they're excited about their work. And so what you end up with is like really fantastic, like young people doing the job who are just having fun working with each other.
Right.
Like it's like we see this a little bit like with Alice at Nude, where like she'll get these people who are like seniors in high school, or they're like, you know, going through college or whatever. And like most of them have like who have come and gone go on to do pretty big things. Mm-hmm. But it's like you got to take all of their tremendous talent. It would be like having like someone who would go on to be like a professional like football player on like your pickup flag football team.
Right.
You know, it's like you're so good for this environment.
Right.
You're good for that environment too. But like, so I feel like they're always just like well managed, and the people are so nice, and it's really great. So it's just a weird observation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I actually, if we go up to Vermont, you know, like
the creamy stand. Yep.
Same exact vibe.
It is. Yeah. You're right. Yes. Yes. Oh, the creamy stand next to Wags.
Yeah. You'll never see the same people twice, but it's always like the same like breed of human being.
Right.
In the best way.
Yeah, man. Someone recently sent me a picture of them visiting the West Addison General Store.
No, they did not.
In Vermont. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad people are still making the pilgrimage up there.
As they should.
To get the open air beef jerky.
There's such a smell to that place.
Such a smell.
I can only imagine people walk in and they're like, are they serious? Like this here?
This is it. This is Wags.
We're there.
They're there. There's the creamy stand. Yep. You're there.
You want to know what's interesting about Wags, just as long as we're talking about like, you know, gas stations.
Yeah.
Shockingly good merch.
Yeah.
At Wags. Yeah. They've got like good hoodies, good t-shirts, nice mugs. Like my favorite coffee mug at home, I bought at Wags.
That's awesome.
It's kind
of
like
awesome.
Of course it is. Yeah. It's kind of like pottery colored, and it's got like a mousse on it. And I mean, if it was clean every single day, which most of the time it is, I use it every single day.
That's good. That's good. Cool. Very good.
Yeah.
My current go-to coffee mug is a Mickey Mouse mug.
I also have a Mickey mug that is up there. What does yours look like?
It is, most of my coffee mugs are Mickey Mouse mugs, but it is red, and it is got like a bunch of black animation on it, and it just says it's as if Mickey had his own brand of coffee.
Oh, okay.
And it's like Oh Boy Coffee or something.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's like Oh Boy, Oh Boy, Hello. No.
Had to do it.
Yeah. But that's the mug I go for the most right now.
Good.
Yeah.
Well,
that's my go-to.
I'm really glad.
Yeah. You know, thank you.
It's an important update.
It is.
Although you just gave away like, and we both did our like a security question answer.
What?
You
know, what's your favorite coffee mug? Is that a? No, it's not.
I'm joking.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just being silly. It's right. Like, how could sharing your favorite coffee mug potentially be like a dire straits?
Don't do that. I can tell you what. As much as I collect Pluto pins, before that was the Mickey coffee mugs.
Okay.
Because I wanted, I think that's such a fun thing to have this fun slow building collection, especially for something like mugs, which I need to do a mug clean out of my house, but that's not really important to you guys. Yeah.
People would be like, hey, how was this week's episode of The Pop? I heard you were listening to it earlier. It's like, well, you know how one of the hosts' name is Jay, right? And like, I'd be like, well, he needs to clean out his mug collection at home.
Yeah. So that was pretty interesting.
the person's like partner, spouse, friend, parent, or whatever is like, and was that relevant to anything? I'd be like, no.
Be like, you know what though? But it could be a slow burn because I didn't think I was going to be invested in his garden, and now I'm like, how are those tomatoes doing?
How are they doing? Ooh,
they're doing good, man. I've been collecting fruit every day from that garden. I couldn't be more glad to hear it. I know. Luke went out the other day. We had our biggest jalapeno harvest. We had 8 jalapenos and like 8 giant tomatoes come off the vine yesterday.
Wow.
It was great.
Big times to be had.
And I think I've officially picked every peach off my tree now.
I think we're gonna have to expand your garden next year.
Yeah.
I think, huh?
Where?
I think we take like one whole side off and just keep going left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just keep going real fast and real left.
That's right. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like we could get up to 6 raised beds.
Just go 3 more.
3 more.
Man, think of what we could grow.
I know.
Be somebody, honestly, that would be the easy direction to go because at that point it becomes flat land again.
True.
we're not building on a hill anymore.
Flatlands. Well, I was gonna say also if you go right, you're going into your neighbor's yard. So
well, that's true.
Going right would be really hard and really evicted.
Right, yes. Yeah. So we can't do that.
Not that you can be evicted from a house that you bought, but like, you know, I have a feeling the HOA would say something about that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So maybe we can go left, we can get more out there, maybe we could get more crops. It'd be great.
More crops.
Well,
I mean, once upon a time, I feel like I pitched this to you and I can't remember where you landed on it, but like the challenge to assign yourself to not purchase food for 1 year.
To not purchase food?
You can't purchase food.
You get like meaning what? You can't go to restaurants?
Correct.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no restaurants, no grocery stores.
You can only grow your own food.
Only grow your own food. And my caveat would be that you can use the year prior to prepare.
Okay.
So, because like, you know, in January, it's going to be hard to be like, all right,
here we go.
No more food.
Yeah. So I guess you'd probably still have some food left over in your house.
Well, there's that. But I would say, yeah, that's fine. You can eat the rest of the food in your house.
So would I have to like, so you could only grow and hunt then?
You could grow and hunt would be options. I would be okay with
forage.
Foraging, I guess. I would be okay maybe if you like purchased like a cow.
I see.
As like a concept, because I don't think everybody's going to be comfortable hunting.
Right, sure.
And I wouldn't want to exclude on that basis because I understand that. But like that, or like venison, you know, you could buy like a deer, like a butchered deer, mm-hmm. you know, as like an option. But, and then, okay, maybe I will add an additional, I'll call it the survivor caveat. You could additionally have like a 50-pound bag of rice.
Okay.
And maybe a 50-pound bag of beans. Because okay. Both of those would be fairly inexpensive.
Yeah.
But they do provide necessary, nutrient or filling related capacities.
Right.
The idea isn't like deprivation. It's like, how would it change your relationship with the way that you approach food?
Right. Yeah.
You know, that's really the goal here. Like this is not like a competition based game. It's not a hierarchy. It's not, there's no winners or losers.
Right. It's like, if you run out of food, that doesn't mean you die of starvation.
Go buy food. Yeah. But like, I mean, it's like if you start with this challenge and then, you know, maybe even part of it is just like, how far could you get before you're like, I can't keep going.
Right.
You know,
like, I've had too much summer squash.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Probably another thing that would be permitted is the purchase of various spices and or seasonings.
Mm-hmm. But you can grow a lot of herbs, you know.
You can grow a lot of herbs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of how or if you could solve like dairy.
Dairy would be a trickier one.
Most people are not going to be able to MYOC.
Yeah, milk your own cow.
I went for make your own cheese.
Oh.
But yours worked just as well. but you're absolutely right. Or goat or, you know, whatever.
I guess if you had chickens, you could do eggs pretty easy.
Yes.
You'd probably a lot of eggs.
You could do eggs pretty easily. Because that is even something that, like, you know, I live in a pretty... I technically live in the city. It's not like city skyscrapers. It's just like, you know, I'm close enough to where that's like where my lines are or whatever. But plenty of people where I live have chickens and make it work on small properties. So I feel like that's accessible.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of like, if there are ways, because there, I mean, climates and everything are so radically different for anybody who's listening right now. It's like, well, it might be easier for you guys. You live in zone 5 or wherever we live. You know,
that
could be better for growing certain things that could be more long lasting, but maybe you spend a year doing the types of stuff like, canning or preserving, freezing, whatever,
right,
you know, so that you've got like on hand like rations that you then sort of like tap into.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, once you hit summer, of course, again, you could have like a whole fresh reboot because you'd be growing all sorts of stuff. You would probably utilize every growing season that is available. Like, for example, I think like Brussels sprouts grow particularly well during like colder months.
Right. Okay.
You know, so you'd probably have like a second, like you would probably be preparing to plant again
right
now.
Yeah, you're right. There's like, there are things you can plant like in the fall and stuff that'll grow, like the garlic, you know, I planted that in October.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Correct. So that could be a big part of the challenge. And then, I mean, maybe some of it too would just be like kind of growing a little bit more comfortable with like not every single meal being intended to be like a treat, you know?
Well, like, yeah, I think that's such a big thing. Like there has become a certain attitude, like where like every meal should be some kind of celebration or treat or something.
Yes,
and it's just like, I just don't think that has to be true. You know, it stops making any meal feel special and every meal feel like decadent and like expensive and like bad for you.
Mm, sure.
So yeah, a lot of times it's just like, this is what we've got right now. I think that when I, like, at the beginning of the year when I was like trying to like lose weight and stuff, there was constantly a like, oh, but I want to like make the most of this, like, you know, night out or meal or whatever, we're out here doing this thing. Or like, you know, I think we were on tour and we were like at Topgolf or something, and I might have usually gotten like, you know, oh, we're gonna get some like cool burger or something,
sure,
because we're here. And it was just like, you know what though? Like, I'm just going to get the salad, because like, realistically, how is this burger going to change my life? And it was like, it's not. It is just going to be what I had for food this day.
Right. You know? Right. Yes. Like, it's not going to go down in history.
It's not going to go down in history. I'm at Topgolf, you know?
Right.
Like, the fun thing isn't even the food. The fun thing is hitting the balls, you know?
Yeah.
Like, just eat the food. You're not even going to remember this meal at some point. So,
yeah. So, I mean, it's a bit of a paradigm shift, and, you know, like, again, I think probably the big thing here is like, it's not like coming after, like, you know, if you enjoy cooking or whatever, it's like, but absolutely enjoy cooking. But, you know, I think it would be like a very interesting challenge, even just to see how far you could get. And even if you like feel any different from like eating
mm-hmm.
that way,
I think it would change your relationship with food a lot. If you could only eat food that you grew or foraged or whatever, or hunt or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or milked.
or milked. Yeah. It's like, what are you getting into tonight? It's like, well, I'm churning butter.
Churning butter, man.
Yeah.
Going on a butter run.
Tell you what though, I bet if you churned your own butter, it would be like, you would never have enjoyed butter, which is a saying something.
I just don't even think it's that hard to churn your own butter, though.
I mean, you know? Maybe not. Yeah. Wasn't there somebody who like was churning butter by like putting all the necessary essentials in like a backpack and going for a run?
Yes.
And the act of running was like making butter.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's pretty great.
It's pretty fun.
I like that.
Butter
yeah.
runs, guys.
Butter runs. Yeah. Run butter.
Yeah. Run butter. Run butter, eat butter.
Should we try that one day?
What, go on a butter run?
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds fun. We can do that.
How hard could it be?
Yeah.
Does it need to be cold?
I think you just put ice in the backpack or whatever.
Oh,
yeah.
Just put ice in the backpack.
Ice in the backpack.
I was overthinking it completely.
Yeah.
I was like, we're going to have to wait till fall.
Yeah. No, you can bring cold with you.
But what if I want to do it next week?
Yeah, you can.
It's doable.
Yeah. You could have your own butter that you made on the back of your back.
That sounds fun.
I know it does.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Something to look forward to. Yep. Yeah. So then you're getting your exercise in, and thank goodness you have your own cow. So at least you can make your own butter.
Yeah.
You know, so that's going
you're
for
gonna
you.
You're going to need a cow.
In order to enact this. Yeah. Everybody's like, great. I don't have to buy food for a year, but I have to purchase a cow.
Right. Yeah.
How much are cows? How much does it cost to feed cows? How much does it cost to take care of a cow?
Yeah. I'm not buying food for myself, but I'm buying food for my cow.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Maybe also start planting your field of hay.
Yeah. Right. So you can feed the cow the hay.
Exactly. Yeah. There you go. You're picking up what I'm putting down.
Yeah. But I tell you what, though, if I did this right now, the only time of the year I would get to eat fruit at all would be like the last 2 weeks of the last 2 weeks of July, basically. You know what I mean?
I really do think you're right. Like, I think like sometimes when I picture doing this, so like we own that, like the 6 acres or whatever. And part of what I could imagine is a world where I just have like rows and rows and rows of like planted crops and such.
Yeah.
So maybe you have like some blueberry bushes or like, you know, strawberries. I think if you do them right, can be pretty prolific. And it's all about slating the timing correctly.
Yeah.
So that like you have things that are showing up, and then also taking the additional step to be like, oh, we got strawberries today. So like we're making, you know.
Yeah. Use what you've got.
Use what you've got then, but then maybe you like save some as well. Cause it's like, you know, come August, I'm going to want to make some fruit smoothies.
Right.
You know, and I'm going to need some frozen straws.
Exactly.
For that.
Yeah. Right. I think what you would grow would probably change a lot too, because it would be like what can feed you the most, you know?
Right. Yes. Yeah.
That becomes like such a potatoes are probably like really high on the list.
Potatoes would be a great one, because they are also quite prolific. And the thing I've seen people do is like the bucket method.
Yeah, where, I know. I want to do the bucket method.
Yeah. So basically, if you've never seen this before, you basically take your potatoes, you plant them inside of like a 5 gallon bucket, and then they grow up and get all nice and big and leafy and everything. And then when it comes time to harvest, you literally just dump the bucket out, and then instead of having to dig up your potatoes, you just have them
go through the dirt.
You just go through the dirt, and then, you know, if you do it over your compost heap, then you just let that dirt grow back into your compost heap and use it again next year.
Use it again next time, man.
You know, let it get
revitalize that dirt.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. It would be, I feel like it would be a very fun thing to try to document.
Man. I mean, yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's basically just homesteading.
It is basically just homesteading.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would take you probably 2 years of work.
You'd have to get set up quite a bit. I mean, I can see a world too where my basement storage room sort of becomes like a bunch of food racks and stuff.
Right, right. Plus, I mean, probably the initial investment of buying like canning jars,
right,
and stuff, I suspect would be.
But even just canning stuff can be like its own like kind of scientific process, I think.
I believe so. Yeah. Because I think there's a lot of like temperatures involved, and then it's also food preservation, which has like its own like associated like if risks. You screw it up, you know.
Right, yeah. It'll make yourself sick.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'm just getting excited thinking about it though.
Whew.
You know, it's like, I mean, but you know what? That's it. That's it. We're buying a compound.
That's it. We're going. We're doing it.
I'm committing.
We're farmers now.
Yeah. We are farmers. That's the end of the podcast. Nice. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of The Pop. If you have any thoughts on nutritional things that we would need to consider before we live off of our own food for an entire year, let us know. Let us know.
Let us.
You see what I did there?
I did, yeah.
Talk about something that has basically no nutrients.
Yeah, right.
Or does it? I don't even know. Is lettuce mostly water?
Probably.
Yeah.
Everything's mostly water.
It feels like it has vitamin A.
It's got something in it.
I mean, it has
it
to.
It has to be good for you some.
Right. It is departed from just being air.
Yeah, exactly.
So
it grew.
Right. It grew. There's energy.
There's energy in there. Yeah.
Oh man. But yeah, be sure to let us know if we were to workshop this as like a community, what would we need to do in order to make it 1 year not buying any food with some of the associated caveats that we've already provided? Like
right.
Maybe include some beans and rice for like major sustenance. You know, for those people at least up until this moment in our lives who don't hunt, an ability to have meat.
Yeah.
You know, if you need to get protein.
You're gonna have to sourdough, probably. You know?
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Okay, maybe you would need a flour budget. You need flour,
yeah.
I think a flour budget's acceptable.
Yeah.
Because you're talking...
If the only food you're buying is flour, rice, and beans...
You're doing okay.
You're doing pretty good.
Well, and so that's the thing, too.
Or you can mill your own flour. You know?
You're right.
Yeah.
Everyone has to
grow
now also...
your wheat.
Yeah, everyone also now has to have a mill along with your cow.
It's getting a lot harder.
We can backpedal. I think it's fine to make rules, you know, because chances are a 50 pound bag of flour for an entire year also is going to cost you no more than like $60 to $75, I think, $100. But like compared to, not that that's a small amount of money, but like compared to what you spend on food throughout the course of an entire year, it's very reasonable.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But oh man, I like that idea though.
Man.
You just make sourdough.
Make sourdough. That's it. All the time.
All the time.
Constantly.
Constantly. Okay, guys. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode. Again, if you have any feedback, you can send on over to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. Or if you would like to sign up to support us over on Patreon, we have lots of cool perks over there, including like some physical merch that comes out quarterly. We have ad-free listening. We have bonus content. Lots of good stuff happening over there. That's patreon.com/popcornculture. But otherwise, until next time.
Pop, pop.
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.